everybody here this morning, whether you're a regular worshipper with us or a visitor. It's nice to have you with us this morning. Just a few notices before we begin.
We need some volunteers again. If there are any strong people afterwards, we need to open the baptistry. Four fronts are using our baptistry next Sunday. So if anybody's feeling strong...
If we could... Yep. If you could help take the cover off the baptistry after the service this morning, that would be much appreciated. And also, you will have seen in the Sunday page that we're going to be hosting a light party when the town is open for Halloween at the end of the month. And we're still after some more volunteers to help with the activities or just generally helping around. So if you feel that you could do this, if you could let me know today so that I can let Charred Churches Together know how many people we've got. On another note, a health and safety note, the deacons are conscious that we haven't actually reminded people of the procedure to take should there be a fire alarm. We're not expecting one, and I'm sure, God willing, there won't be one. But should the fire alarm go off, the fire exits are through the double doors, straight out of the main doors, or via this door here to my left, and through the doors down the side. And our meeting point is round the corner by Lloyd's Pharmacy. So please make your way, leave all your bags and belongings, don't stop to collect anything, make your way round there. Those who are on stewards will help anybody that needs any assistance, and we will all make sure that everybody gets out safely. So that is what happens should there be a fire. If you are sat upstairs, then you come down the stairs, either the stairs at the back or the stairs up here, and make your way through the fire exit. But I'm sure we won't have any. But that's ticked a box to say that we've let everybody know, so that's good. So now it's my pleasure to welcome John and Sally, not only playing instruments today, but leading our service. So they're multitasking today. So it's nice to have you with us, and we look forward to hearing you share about your life and your charity. And it's also nice to have a couple of singers. So if anybody else wants to have a go at singing, please feel free. We'd love to have you. So I'll hand it over to John and Sally.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us this morning. I'm afraid if there's a fire, I'm going to have to grab my bass. just stay out of my way. That's all I ask. But thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. We really appreciate it. Let's open in prayer. Holy Father, we do thank you for today, for another opportunity to come together as family, as brothers and sisters, as your children, to worship you and to praise you and to honor you. We pray that it would be all about you this morning. Direct our minds, our thoughts, our spirits, Lord. And may you be glorified today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, our first song is one you probably all know, and it's called I Stand Amazed.
Thank you. I'll use that.
Thank God for technical support.
Let's just take this all off.
Yeah, it's
like
book work now.
Wardrobe.
So if you, we know that one's working. So.
Okay, I need this though.
Okay. Wow. Talk number one. This is actually a three-part talk.
So we're going to share a little bit about who we are right now and how we came to be in ministry. And I became a Christian in 1977. I was in jail at the time for sales of hashish. Well, actually for cocaine. They dropped the cocaine charge, and I actually pled guilty to sales of hashish. I had been using drugs for about 6 years and selling them for about five, mainly to provide my own habit. When I was released about 8 months later, I moved in with some friends and who had rededicated their lives to the Lord, because they were raised Christians in a Baptist church. And we had many friends that joined with us. And so we kind of started a home church, did Bible studies, actually started a Christian Southern rock band, and started doing ministry and playing out. And we moved as a church from Los Angeles area in California to Central California, about 70 miles northwest of Yosemite National Park, in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas. Gold country is what it was. I got married while I was there, but the relationship began to dissolve really quickly. My wife got pregnant, refused to have the children, had got abortions, and of course that played its toll on our relationship. She walked out about 3 years later, although I spent two of those years sleeping on the couch. And then one day she gave me the divorce papers, and that was it. Then as a Christian, I got back involved with drugs rather than my Savior. And things spiraled out of control pretty quickly. There was lots of drugs at the gold mine I worked at. Well, I lost my job. I got two drunk driving arrests. I lost my driver's license. I lost my home. And I wound up spending 90 days in a halfway house in Fresno, California, ironically called Motel California. As soon as I was released, it all started up again. Started smoking meth, otherwise known as ice, very addictive. And things really went downhill fast from there. And one morning, I found myself in a cheap motel in Merced, California, surrounded by drugs and pornography. And I realized I had a moment of clarity. I realized if I didn't make some changes in my life, they were going to find me dead in a hotel like that, and it wouldn't be that long. So I contacted my sister down in Los Angeles, went down to see her. Her and her husband asked me to move in with them. So I moved down to Southern California. My ex-wife helped me move. When I got there, the party continued for a little while, but kind of phased out. I had to start going to Alcoholics Anonymous as part of the court mandates. And so I went three times a week for 5 years. And then after that period of time, I just said, what am I doing here? I need to get back to church. And so I got involved in the local Calvary Baptist Church. And there's a theme here. There's a lot of Baptist churches in my life. And although I was raised Catholic. And from there, I got involved in everything in the Baptist church I could. I remembered an old Bob Dylan song that said, if you want to learn, you have to get close to the teacher. I sat up front and did my best to become friends with the preacher. And so I got involved in the worship team, men's Bible studies, outreaches to the homeless. And then I wound up joining a Christian blues band. And we played gigs almost every week for quite a while. During that time, I was dating this girl, and I realized pretty quickly that it was going to crash and burn. And so I said, you know, I broke it off with her. And it was really one of the hardest things I've ever done, because I'd never been on that particular end of that conversation. Usually it was always the other way around. And as I drove away, I prayed to God to dedicate my life to him, surrender my single life to him, and to do whatever he wanted me to do. I didn't care where or when. And shortly thereafter, there was this missionary girl at church. And I had emailed her a couple times, and she never responded. But she showed back up on sabbatical one time, and then she came up and sat down in front of me after church. You're up.
I have a different story to tell. While all that was still showing his grace to me at the same time. I was born in Essex, not Anaheim. And I was born to my dad and mum, obviously. And my dad was a vicar, and my mum was a teacher, primary school teacher here. It was a very, very noisy life. There was five of us. We all played instruments. It was just chaos at home. When I was 14, I remember being at school, and the room started twirling around. And I started, that was my journey with, beginning of my journey with depression and migraines, which went on for 25 plus years until the Lord showed his grace and mercy and healing. I was never good enough, and I kept on pushing at school and music, which is why I can play the way I can play, because I was pushy and mum and dad just poured into us the love of music and also the love of travel, which led to me moving out to California. I wanted actually to go to Australia, but my sister had moved to California and she'd got married out there, and I decided to take a term off teaching and move out there. And that was my journey, that began my journey. In the midst of depression, in the midst of later being diagnosed with ADD, I'm a bit scatty at times, and it began my journey as a missionary. And that's God's grace. It doesn't matter what you're going through, God can still work in your life. But just prior to going to America, I was up in Wigan teaching, because that was my first job, teaching music in a secondary school. And on one day, I got a job, a house, and a roommate. And this roommate was a really live Christian. You see, I'd grown up in a house, in a home, that was very liberal Christian. I didn't hear very much about a very personal relationship with a Jesus. I knew about Jesus, but he was very much more of a sort of historical figure. And I remember praying as a little girl. So my journey probably began back then, but it had a real moment when I was about 22, 23 years old. I remember it was November 1983. And I had a roommate that went to a completely different church from the Anglican church that I had been going to. It was an Elim church, and a very charismatic, lively, you remember the Toronto movement, some of you back then? It was very lively, but the worship and the prayer became alive to me, and one day I found myself putting my hand up to an altar call and making my faith alive. That day, or Jesus did. And then that didn't change anything with regards to my depression, really. There were a few moments where I had a little bit more hope. I think that was what it was. I had more hope, and I had more a depth of that there was someone else in my life that I could talk to. That's what it did. And I ended up going to America and meeting missionaries and beginning to work in East Los Angeles in gang territory with gang kids. A few years later, to cut a very long story short, I had an opportunity to go to Germany for 6 years to work on a church plant and teach English as a foreign language, which I did. And it was in 2003 that I finished that work. We handed it over to nationals in northern Germany, it was Hamburg. And I ended up going back to Anaheim in California, because by this point, they were my sending church. And guess what had happened? He had joined the church while I was in Germany. At this time, I was also, I got what you could call a crush on a man in this church. He'd been writing to me in Germany, and I thought he was going to be the one, you know. I was in my mid-40s by this point, no one on the horizon. Given up the thought of kids, I'd already surrendered that one. But I did ask God way back when I was about 38 years old. I said, Lord, a companion might be lovely. And so 2003, I went back to Anaheim. I re-surrendered my single life to the Lord because I really didn't know whether anybody was on the horizon. And lo and behold, the prayer partner of this guy that I had a crush on was yours truly, John, who asked him one day,
Mike, is there anything between you and Sally? And his reply was,
but he hadn't told me.
And I said, that's all I wanted to know.
Hence the emails that he wrote to Germany, which I didn't know who he was. And so I didn't answer them, but it was late 2004, I believe, about September. I was sitting in church one day, this Calvary Baptist church, and I heard, go and apologize to John for not replying to those emails. Next week, go and apologize to John for not responding to those emails. The third time, I said, okay, oh God. So I went up and I, because we were actually playing in the worship team together. I went up and sat in the front and tapped him on the shoulder or something and I said, I'm really sorry for not replying to those emails. It was very rude of me.
And the Holy Spirit said to me, now's your chance, don't blow it. So I said, I totally understand. You don't know me from Adam. Let's go have coffee. And she said,
I said, yes, but just friends, because I had seriously given my life over, you know.
I said, of course, just friends. About 45 days later, we were engaged to be married. And 6 months later, we did get married. And we've been married for 17 years. It is June 25th, 2005.
Well done, well done.
Yes. And it's been great. It's been absolutely wonderful. And one of the things that we talked about before we got married was about the fact that she was a missionary, and she said, well, I could be a housewife. That's a great ministry.
And work in the local church. That is mission work too, you know?
And I said, I want to be a missionary too. So that kind of set the ground about what was going to happen in the future. And we actually have more information to share than we actually have time because we're already behind schedule. But there's plenty of stuff to share. And one of the things that happened when we did go full-time missionary in 2012,
yes,
is the CEO of our U.S. mission, Life is Full of Choices, asked me to write a book about my journey. So I wrote this book, which is available on Amazon and Kindle, just in case anybody's interested. And during the promotion of that, Sally contacted both All Souls Church, Holy Trinity, Bompton, and several different churches in London area.
Because I used to come back and see my family, obviously, and so we were promoting his book at that point. Yes.
And so we had started doing. We had written a seminar, didn't we?
Yes, we had written a seminar.
And we started sharing that at like San Diego Mental Health.
Yeah.
Different churches throughout Southern California. We went to North Carolina, Arizona, a few different places like that. I was speaking at a lot of Celebrate Recovery meetings, did Celebrate Recovery Radio a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then
it was 2013. You wrote your book in 2013,
yes.
In an RV, do you remember that?
It was in an RV in the backyard
in
East Los Angeles,
yes.
Yeah. And then while you were promoting that, we actually got a response from Holy Trinity Brompton, All Souls Church. In Langham Place in London, and the head of ASLAN, which is our outreach to homeless and vulnerably housed, connected with us, and we started Skyping back and forth, and then we came to Europe on a mission trip, and while we were there, we stopped to meet her face to face, and she asked us in the middle of a PowerPoint presentation she had about the work they do, if we would be willing to come there and lead the recovery ministry and present the recovery course written by Nigel Skelsey from Holy Trinity Brompton. And we said, what? Because we weren't expecting that. We thought we were going to Hamburg, Germany on a church plant. It became pretty obvious pretty quickly that God wanted us to come to London. And that's really what happened with that. And of course, during all that time, weren't you doing some schooling?
Oh, yes. Back in Germany, I'd studied some lay biblical counseling work. God had switched it, my interest from children's work to women's work. And so in 2000, I was around 40, and I started some training, lay, you'd say, pastoral care counseling here. And then I went on to, I'll just continue, get a master's. And then a few years, and in 2007, I vowed never to do any study again. A year later, I was starting and embarking on, God must have had this, on a 10-year journey with a PhD, which I got in 2018. Very relevant to the work that we ended up doing, which was, it was very useful. But I wouldn't advise anyone doing a PhD. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
And that was biblical counseling with Trinity?
Trinity Seminary in Indiana, actually.
Yeah. And so she was actually able to complete that after we got here.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. Yeah.
So that was while we were in London presenting Free Recovery there.
Yeah.
And with that, we probably need to get on to our next two songs.
We should get on to our next two songs, and then we can continue on our next talk.
That's right, because we want to give thanks for what God has done in our lives, for saving us and for the journey he's taken us on. So our first song is Thank You for Saving Me, and then directly after that, we're going to go into Thou Art Worthy.
Yes.
Songs we probably all know pretty well.
Thank you.
God has created everything for us, for his glory. Everything around us shines and speaks of God. The sunshine, the wind. Feel the wind, the warm wind on your skin on a summer day. Something about it just says, this is God at work. I love it. I love it. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier this week. All those things used to be drug-related to me. Now they're God-related to me. What a miracle. So we started the ministry in London at the All Souls Clubhouse, which is right behind Great Portland Street Station near Regent's Park, if you're familiar with London at all. In the middle of Crazy Town. I mean, I grew up in the Los Angeles area. It's busy, but it's not quite like London. And we adapted. We got used to the tube and all that fun stuff, which I had never experienced. But it was wonderful.
So, we got to London in 2013 when we were sitting having tea with this leader from the homeless ministry. And we were sitting and she was showing that PowerPoint, if you remember, and we said yes. And we went back to LA for about 10 months.
Yeah.
You see, we're missionaries, we had to raise support. And in it was August 2014, we ended up back in London to begin a recovery ministry in the center of London. And
you remember that first week? There was eight of us around the table.
Yeah, that was that first time. We'd done some training with Holy Trinity Brompton,
yeah,
because that was the recovery we were using, the recovery course. And
yeah,
when we talk about a recovery course, we talk about, imagine walking into a room. It's rather like your Bible study evenings or your life group evenings, and you walk into a room and you have a meal, because that's where you start, and you start
building
that community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you there's usually a devotional time or a bit of teaching, and then you divide up into support groups, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But just to give you an idea, and we'll talk about the difference between coming alongside people who are struggling with their mental health, with struggling with addictions, with struggling with things in a support group environment versus a Bible study scenario, which you do touch on things and you do come alongside and you do pray. It is a slightly different focus. And that is the ministry God has called us to. And so when we talk about recovery ministry, that's the picture we have.
I mean, drugs, alcohol, pornography, adultery, pedophilia. I mean, so cross-section of sinful human beings.
And by the way, the people that first walked through our door were people within the Christian church who had made a confession of faith to Jesus Christ, but were still struggling with their sin habits.
I mean, 90% of the people espoused to be Christians, as I did when I got caught back up in drugs and porn.
So we started that Saturday afternoon, didn't we? And the first people that came through were Chinese Christians, actually, weren't they?
Yeah, I had two Chinese guys who were gambling addicts from the Chinese church in London.
Yes.
Really nice guys, but whenever they had money, they spent it. They went and gambled somewhere.
Yeah. And because for the sake of time, and by the way, we'll just say to this, if you want to sit around with us and have a meal and really fill in the jigsaw puzzle pieces of our lives and how we really got from A to B, we don't have time this morning. Please, we would love that. We would love that.
So as we were presenting the recovery course from Holy Trinity Brompton, it was a 16-week course with one workshop,
yes,
which was called The Battleground of the Mind, which was all about dealing with temptation, which we still do in a form. While we did it, while we presented it, quite frankly, I rewrote it every time we did it, because they used the message, which it's okay once in a while, but I don't like to use that as my primary source for scripture. And there was a lot of pop psychology in it. Let me be kind to Nigel, because he is a friend of mine, but we found it not as conservatively oriented than we are. Let's be honest. And so by the time we presented it probably nine times or so, it was a different course
And Nigel was fine with that. He just said, you know, change the name, and which we did. Which is how we got to free recovery at some point.
Yes, well, because in 2017, we were under All Souls, and I don't know if any of you know the evangelist there, Rico Tice. He was very much involved with our ministry.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning, we sat with him, and he said, I'm getting people coming through and asking me, do you have an alternative to the AA support groups for the Christian, for people that want a thoroughly biblical journey with recovery? Now, we have nothing against AA. We have learned a lot about that.
No, we
a lot
use,
about our ministry through
we use
AA,
a lot of stuff. I've gone to hundreds of AA meetings,
support,
you know.
And support groups and how they do for support groups from AAs. And there's various Christians. But what we found, Christian formats that have kicked off that. But what we found was that people began to use the steps as the focus, and we wanted Christ to be our goal and our focus.
Yeah, the recovery course from Holy Trinity Brompton was a 12-step-based recovery course. And Rico was our primary fundraiser, since we were a self-funded ministry. And he was getting pushback from pastors who really didn't like the 12 steps because in a lot of cases they become idols. It becomes more about them than actually a changed life. And of course, the whole idea of the God of your understanding doesn't work. There is only one God, and unless you have a relationship with him, you're not going to get any help. Anything else is fantasy. And so that's been our stance since the beginning. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ for a life to change, because that's the only thing that changed my life. How about you?
Yes, the grace and mercy that in he was the one that released me as I began to surrender my life at the end of my 40s from the depression, severe depression I was suffering with. Yeah.
So Rico Tice asked us to write our own material, which we thought was kind of overwhelming. And then he asked us again and a couple more times, and he was kind of pushing us to write our own material. And he suggested that we root it in the book of Galatians. And so we sat down and we started reading Galatians, and we read through Galatians, I don't know, 15 or 20 times. And it seemed like a good idea. So we started writing it, and then about 2017 we started presenting it.
2017 we started piloting and presenting it right up to COVID times.
Yeah.
And we kept honing it up to COVID times, and then everything changed like it did for everybody else.
And we went on Zoom. And we presented on Zoom for 3 times, and then during COVID, we accepted voluntary redundancy from All Souls, moved here close to Sally's parents, which was a great move.
But one of the things we discovered in the going through the COVID times, going online, is we got people from all over the world popping into our support groups.
And we had people from Turkey, from Australia, from South Africa, from Central California.
All over Europe.
So that it really grew. And along all this, since the beginning, I've been doing this sexual issues group for men every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I'm still doing that at 9 a.m. on Zoom every Saturday morning. Currently going through a book called Sexual Sanity for Men. And I usually have somewhere between 10 to 15 people. It depends upon the week.
Yeah, so geographically, it's perfectly. We're from central London, worldwide, basically.
And so with Free Recovery, each session has a specific topic. It's almost like a topical sermon. Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't like topical sermons. But week one, we talk about being out of control, which is step one, or maybe it's step three.
Life is out of control is the first one we do.
That's right. And our key verse for session one is, I don't understand, this is my paraphrase, I don't understand myself. The good I want to do, I don't do, but the evil I hate, that I do. Every addict I ever met can relate to that. In fact, I stated that in a small support group one day without giving the verse reference, and one kid goes, yeah, that's my life. And then I told him where it came from. All of a sudden, the Bible was relevant to him, maybe for the first time.
And so we ended up beginning our charity, forming a charity when we left All Souls.
Yeah, so we spent a year doing that, and I'm told that was actually record time, but it was a lot of work. But we had some help, some really good people, some good friends that we had made at All Souls over the years. And All Souls actually still supports us through their global missions. We For the first 2 years, we've gotten a grant from them, which has been fantastic. So we still have a relationship and a good relationship with them.
And one of the things after we'd formed the charity, we needed to get our product so that, if we call it a product, that is the teaching part and the guides that go with it, so that we can spread it out to other churches,
right,
which is where our goal is right now. And that, in the beginning of September, we were able to go to London and film all of our sessions, and we had people join in giving their stories. And we filmed all of that at the beginning of September. And this is an early slide that we did at an evangelism conference with our early material that we had. This is a slide where we were presenting one of our workshops in London.
That was probably Battlefield of the Mind, yeah.
And this slide tells you what we are actually hoping to do. We desire to help churches set up safe, compassionate support groups accessible to both believers and those exploring faith. And to accomplish this, we have filmed our course sessions to produce an accessible resource package which will be available to local churches by early 2023. Join us in whatever way God leads you to do. And there's a sign-up sheet down there. But what we were hoping to do is share with you right now a short video. And these are pictures of filming.
Yes.
You can just run through those. This is filming in a small studio, and the challenge of going from the camera, and that was giving an interview.
The challenge of looking at ourselves after we, on the pictures, that was the biggest challenge probably, yeah.
So, you sort of had to die to all of that, you know,
yes.
Keep looking at yourself, you know. And so, all right, we'll have a moment of quiet as we calm our hearts and minds and... Dear Lord, as we consider our world, we think of the war in Ukraine. Have mercy, O Lord. We think of the floods and the hurricanes that have been around. Have grace and comfort to those who are involved, Lord. We ask you to step into the unrest that's in Iran. And I'm thinking this morning of the tragedy in Ireland. Be their comfort, O Lord. Father, show our leaders wisdom. They need wisdom. And we think of people who are really suffering, beginning to suffer in this country because of the economy. People who are having to make the choice between heating and eating. And then I think of the poverty in other places. Father, our world is broken. But Lord, in the brokenness, be at work, drawing people to yourself and giving hunger to people who, for things of you, Lord. I pray for the persecuted church, those in prison, for their faith, Christians all over the world. Be their comfort, courage, and strength at this time. As we're considering recovery and the addicted, we pray for the addicted in the church and outside, that Christ will break through with his freedom. And Lord, let's have I ask you for grace and mercy and comfort for those people we know in our hearts, more locally, who are suffering. I pray that you will give comfort to Michael Manning's family. I pray for Carol as she's going through COVID. And you have names that are flying through your head right now. We have a moment of quiet. And let's bring these people, the very dear people, to the Lord. And lastly, let's pray for ourselves. We offer ourselves up as living sacrifices. be used for your glory. Work through us with your fragrance. Fill us with your love so that we can reach a hurting world that so desperately needs you. Let us know the hope to which you have called us in a deeper way, the inheritance we have in you, and the power that you have given to us. In Christ Jesus, for your name's sake and your glory. Amen.
Well, for our next song we have, I Will Offer Up My Life. Please join in with us. All right, well, we have some Bible passages we want to share with you this morning. First one comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Psalm 103, 1 to 4. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
And then from Galatians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. That's completely different. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.
And from Chronicles 16:34, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
You know, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. What are you thankful for? Your health? your family, your home, your money. Paul wrote in today's session a key verse. This is session 5, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18.
Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
If this is no small task. It's hard.
So in what circumstances are we to be thankful?
Well, Paul tells us we're supposed to be thankful in all circumstances. No qualification there. Does it say only good ones or only bad ones, but all?
And in this session, we're going to talk more deeply about the connection between being thankful and becoming free. And this is session 5. This is bang in the middle of our teaching sessions. And we're going to just go through that with you now.
Yep.
We're also going to explore our main character, Paul, and what he says about thankfulness. But first, here are some contemporary thoughts and statistics about thankfulness. Note that thankfulness and gratitude are often used interchangeably.
You know, there has been much research about gratitude and thankfulness and its impact on our well-being. It's a major component of 12-step programs, which you talked about earlier. Many also encourage writing a daily gratitude list. I get some via email or WhatsApp every day.
And some psychologists, Woodfro and Garati, when they wrote in 2010, they wrote that higher gratitude is associated with a better life. More positive emotions, optimism, having better relationships and self-acceptance. They go as far as saying that being thankful influences our personal growth and even takes a role in how we view life. Here's what they also write.
Gratitude has been associated with lower ill-being in terms of negative effect, depression, anxiety, phobia, bulimia, addictions, negative emotions, dysfunctions, anger, and hostility.
And listening to this should help us take notice that quite possibly a change of attitude towards more thankfulness might mean a deeply improved quality of life.
Indeed. Well, here are some more quotes and thoughts about gratitude.
Chowdhury acknowledges that by merely acknowledging and appreciating the little things in life, we can rewire the brain to deal with present circumstances with awareness and broader perception.
Well, did you hear that? We rewire the brain. That's almost hard to believe.
And that sounds remarkably like Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where Paul writes,
"Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will."
We know that this verse is linked with having a different mindset and worship, but could being thankful to God for all that we have and his gifts to us be a part of this mind transformation?
Another author, William Arthur Ward, he's a 20th century author, wrote,
"God gave you the gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used 1 second of that time to say, thank you?"
Hopefully we all have. How distracted we have become today, and we have not even stopped and appreciated God for one moment.
Now, you may find this really difficult in the circumstances of your life, and may even have resentments towards God himself. Sometimes it takes a sacrifice of thanksgiving, as found in Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15.
Sacrifice, thank you, offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me.
A sacrifice costs us something.
Yeah.
The sacrifice of Jesus for you is the ultimate example. It cost God. Sometimes we must begin by just talking to God, crying out to him, and finding something to be thankful for. Maybe that you can even cry out to him. Remember, in the middle of my depression, I wasn't feeling like saying thank you. But eventually I got to the point of I cried out to him, didn't want to be there anymore. And I started to thank him for those times
You might even need a friend to help you, take you on a walk or a car ride, and point out the beauty that you cannot see or feel yet.
In many articles that we found, the link between gratitude and the relief of anxiety and depression, it actually reduces stress hormones, something called cortisol, and it changes the dopamine and serotonin balance for an improved sense of wellness. So there's a physical thing that actually happens here.
And Neil Krause said in his article in 2006, Researching on Aging,
commitment to the daily practice of gratitude reduces an array of negative emotions and is a natural stress detox. Now, we could all use a little bit of that.
Gratitude can make the difference between merely existing and living.
Yeah.
A modern-day mental health speaker and advocate, Paul McGregor, wrote in 2018,
living a life being grateful for everything you have, not feeling unworthy, and chasing after what you haven't got.
This is a secular viewpoint, but it deeply translates into a God-given motivation for living.
That's right. Now think about the key verse for today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18.
Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Does this not reflect being grateful in everything you have? Now, we also can express deeper gratitude to God when we realize the worth he has placed on us. The worth he has placed on us. His children. That's what he calls us. Knowing who we are in him can truly strengthen and increase our expression of thankfulness. Read Ephesians chapter 1 if you desire to find out more about your true God-given identity. Also, being genuinely satisfied with what you have and not chasing after what you do not have is very freeing. We have all we need in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, the apostles and everybody else,
I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.
Can you imagine having all your needs met in Jesus? If you are his child, he has come to live inside you. This takes some pondering, and I'm positive that being thankful is part of that pondering.
Our main character, Paul, wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 10.
But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness.
What would happen if we began to thank him for the qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control that exist inside us, in the life of Christ. Some of this is quite mind-blowing.
Just listen to the following from McCrady and some colleagues from 2004 from the article, The Grateful Heart, and then later from Gloria and Steinhardt in 2016 in Relationships Among Positive Emotions, Coping Resilience, and Mental Health.
Cortisol reduction via gratefulness. Cortisol is a stress hormone increasing cardiac function. Gratefulness increases resilience to emotional setbacks and negative experiences.
Gratitude fosters adaptive coping mechanisms. By managing positive emotions like satisfaction, happiness, and pleasure, gratitude enhances our emotional resilience and builds inner strength to combat stress.
Chaudhry and others have also linked gratitude with the grief recovery process. And also, gratitude practices are used to treat death anxiety, PTSD, social phobia, and even nihilism.
Now, we've seen what the benefits of gratitude practices have throughout society. Let's bring the discussion back to Paul, our main character.
Earlier, we talked about the fact that Paul talked about the transformation of the mind in Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
So we know that God is very interested in our mind.
Yeah.
We link this with the possibility of gratitude being a part of this transformation, and especially being thankful in tough circumstances.
It's intimidating to think God cares about what we think. Just listen to the experience of Paul found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27.
5 times I received from the Jews the thought 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked.
Now listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10.
That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Paul had lots of reasons to complain, but he took this as an opportunity to boast about God's goodness, mercy, grace, and to actually delight in his difficulties. I have a hard time delighting when I'm out of gas. You know, this links so well with our key verse for today. Where the same person, Paul, writes that he gives thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will.
The deepest of encouragement here is not to take this lightly. This has been something that has been found to be life-changing throughout society, and we believe it began with God, our Father, who desires to be the object of all our thanksgiving, appreciation.
As we close, here are some ideas to begin to increase your practice of thanksgiving.
Appreciate who God made you to be.
Show gratitude to a mentor, a friend, a minister, or a work associate.
Don't talk yourself out of being happy.
That's a really hard one. Team up with others to focus on thanksgiving and gratitude.
Write thankful. Write thank you notes.
Be thankful mentally for someone.
Make gratitude lists.
Write a gratitude journal. You could include some of the following examples: challenges of what I'm learning, people I'm grateful for, assets in my life, what God is doing in my life, what I am learning with God's help. Be thankful for what you discover.
Count your blessings weekly or daily.
Practice politeness, a rare commodity sometimes in today's society. Say please and thank you.
Choose what you think about. Remember 2 Corinthians 10:5.
We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Practice kindness to others.
Remember, the practice of gratitude directly affects life satisfaction. You may be able to think of more ways and cultivate gratitude. We deeply encourage you to grow in this practice, as it will make a difference to you and the people around you.
And the people who walk through our doors at Free Recovery maybe have never, because their life circumstances have been so traumatic, they may have never begun this journey.
Yeah. Now, I'm walking alongside a gentleman right now who has lost his wife, his 3 kids, his home, his job, broken his foot and his elbow, and he is having a hard time being thankful for even waking up at this point.
Remember again our key verse from Paul, from Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18.
Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
This week, remember to talk to God, connect with God's people, and read his word. Practice being thankful.
And this is how I always end every session. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
And if you want to hear more about our ministry, here in Chard, we live here, so anybody can connect with us. But if you would like to connect with us on our monthly newsletter, or about our monthly newsletter when we get around to it, we've got
several of you have already signed up, but if you would really, then come to the front and sign up. And she did these for us. If you would like to make a donation or something and take one of these, that would be lovely. We are still raising funds for our ministry. Thank you, Marianne. Thank you.
And we are looking forward, hopefully maybe next spring, starting the sessions up once again, probably on Zoom, but possibly live here in the Chard area, maybe with Churches Together. We'll have to see how that works out.
Yes, we would love to have something going here. I have a heart. I grew up in Bucks countryside. My father actually was one of the first vicars that joined rural Churches Together. And so my heart is that it's not just the cities that are resourced, but the rural areas as well. So
amen.
I have a passion for that. Yes.
And our closing song today is a great one. There is a Redeemer. Please stand and join us. If you're able to stand.
To share, and I would like to end with the Aaronic blessing once again. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you.